to sky! Touchdown! Johnny Harleen comes all the way across the field! Beck finds him, and it's a touchdown, and BYU swarms the field! They win it! John Beck, put it in your book, the Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Year!
.975 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard.
What a day.
Interesting day for sure. And joining us now, the receiving end of one of the more famous catches, touchdowns in BYU history, Johnny Harleen, kind enough to join us on the Smart Ring guest line. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, really quick, Johnny, I just want to remind everybody that in that game, you actually had three beautiful children, three touchdowns, and everybody forgets about the other two, and they only remember the one, but people need to remember you had 120 yards and three touchdowns in that game. It wasn't just that one beautiful catch.
Yeah, it was. That was very satisfying game for me, for sure, to get – Yeah, it started off right from the bat, and really, I guess for me, a big part of it was like the year before. You know, we lost, and I wish that I had done more and been more successful. I knew that they were gonna, you know, the Utah played us a lot different than just about everybody in the year. You know, kind of jamming, slash holding, you know, at the line of scrimmage, and so it's like I learned, you know, I'm not gonna rely on the refs or anything to try to get like a penalty because they're not going to call anything. So it's like, I'm just going to, you know, handle it. And right from the get-go, the first play, I got my first catch and a little drought in the middle of the game, I guess. But yeah, it was great to have success for our team. And of course, you know, for me personally, it felt good too. So
What was that battle like? Because I know you and Eric Weddle got matched up quite a bit in that game. What was that individual battle like?
Well, I matched up a few times with him, or he matched up with me, I guess I'd say. But, you know, Casey Evans on me a lot. Who was it? McCain, just a couple times. So there were a lot of guys on me. Smith was on me several times. So it was kind of a mixture. You know, I'd say Eric Weddle out of everybody. I mean, obviously just an outstanding player and successful NFL career. And, you know, and he was tough, and he was the only one that wasn't guarding me without just trying to like hold me, you know, like I would get past the other guys, and literally a lot of like the year before, especially, they just grab on the back of my shirt and just follow me wherever I went. And Eric Weddle stayed with me the whole time without even touching me, you know, so quick, and he was great. So, but yeah, well, anyway, so those guys though, you know, such, I think there's like three guys from the secondary that played in the NFL a long time. And so to have that kind of game against them, you know, felt great.
I want to go back to something you just talked about, Johnny, because we had Max Hall on yesterday, and Max went into detail of how the year before affected the way he played the year that he won it. You talked about that loss the year before and how much that impacted you. Is that's really something that sits deep with you, huh? That's something you remember specifically, was how much that loss impacted your drive to get the win?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course it does, to a degree. I mean, it's not like all year long I'm sitting there just like, you know, thinking in my head, like just looking at that. But yeah, you know, you go and you work hard in the off season. But that was something that, to me, I was like, okay, that's just a technique that I need to be ready for, just kind of, you know, and this is what I'm always, you know, telling players and fans. It's like, look, you can't rely on the referees to like do anything for you. You know, there's certain things they're not really going to call. Are they against the rules? Sure. But it's like, and I'm not trying to like make it sound like I'm complaining about it either. It's just like, that's just kind of the nature of the game. It's like, you know, at a certain point you got to take it into your hands. And I stopped, you know, talking to the refs at all, because it's like, it doesn't do any good. I'm just going to focus on what I need to do. And so, you know, that was more the focus for me, not that I was like, you know, emotionally scarred all year long or something, but just that I knew that that was something to expect and to be ready for and have to, you know, be able to overcome.
Does it feel like 15 years ago?
Wow. 15.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's like that's how time goes, I guess. You know, in some ways it's like, yeah, it just feels like a few years ago. In other ways, I'm like, man, it's like a different lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy to think, because 15 years ago, remember, Johnny, after that season, you and Curtis Brown started hopping on air with us, and I think we did a season or two together in pre and post, and you had radio time. So just take us through a little bit. Where are you at now? And kind of enlighten BYU fans as to your family situation. I know you've had kids along the way, and you've done so many great things.
Well, yeah, so life is good, man. I after that, you know, after my senior year, I got, you know, chance to go a little bit in the NFL, did some practice squad stuff, and, you know, was kind of working my way in. Unfortunately, after that first year, tore my Achilles tendon, and just kind of wasn't able to get back into it, you know. And that's a tough, tough situation, you know, coming out like, you know, statistically out of the top tight end in the country that year. There were some great players, you know, we had you know, Greg Olsen and things coming out in that draft. And, you know, so you have these like really high expectations, and it kind of is a classic story of, you know, I was like, okay, this is going to be my life. And, you know, I'm going to retire in 10 years and be well off and kind of set. And you know, and that's how it happened. And that's like, you know, and my whole identity as a person is so wrapped up into like, you know, being an athlete and like, you know, being one of the best players, and that's who I am. And all of a sudden it's like in an instant, it's just like gone. And so I get in a situation where it's like, all right, well, I guess I need to figure out something else to do. I was, you know, married, you know, at the end of my senior season. And so we didn't have any kids at that point, but trying to figure out like, okay, well, yeah, what am I going to do now? And I tried, you know, to get back playing. I did rehabilitated my Achilles and everything, but just, you know, couldn't get back in. So, you know, at that point, it's kind of like that identity crisis of like, okay, what can I do and what do I want to do? And, I don't know, I might be giving you a little bit more personal than you're looking for.
Oh, good. No, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm in that situation. I'm like, what am I going to do with myself, and what do I like, and what do I want to do? And then not only that, it's like, what am I good at? You know, it's like I could go to a job interview and I'm like, okay, well, I'm fast and I can jump, I can catch a ball. But it's like, that's not what anyone's looking for. it's like I kind of had to figure things out, and it took a while, you know. And I guess one of the tempting things is like sales jobs, because it's like there's so much potential for, you know, big, fast earnings, but that's just, I wasn't great at that, you know. I'm not, that, especially at the time, that just, I just didn't have those types of skills really. So, kind of bounced around and tried a number of things. I've been teaching at Challenger School now for about 6-7 years, which is headquartered up in Midvale, I think, in Salt Lake, but I've lived down in Las Vegas now. So yeah, we've got my daughter Layla. She's 12 and she's in seventh grade. We've got our twin boys now that are in kindergarten, and so yeah, and I really enjoy it. Another thing, you know, that I've been working on a lot is you know, besides sports, I guess the other thing that I knew that I really liked was music, and I've always played, you know, piano and guitar since I was a kid. So always trying to work on that type of stuff. I just finished working with a friend who asked me to do a movie score for his short film that he did. So that's my first time doing that, and hopefully I'll get more opportunities to do that too. So, yeah.
Wow.
So I want to go back, and I know you've explained this many, many times, but just from your perspective, how that play developed that ended up with you all alone on the other side of the field, kind of walk us through where was the initial ball supposed to be going to, and how did it play out from your perspective out on the field?
Yeah. Well, okay, so we got down, you know, I think it's the 11-yard line, and we had time for two plays, and we tried on the first one to throw the fade to me, and I'm pretty sure it was Bryce McCain. He defended it real well. I usually was pretty successful on that route, throughout my whole career. So he defended it, and but on the next one, it was actually the exact same play call, and this time they had McCain on me. They also put Weddle over the top of that of us, so that was kind of a no go there. And so, you know, there's trips on the other side. We had three receivers over there, and so, you know, John, you know, kind of the play is designed for him to make the read over there. But I know that at that point he kind of knew that he's not going to throw it until it's a sure thing, because of what had happened the year before. It was not that different of a situation. So I started kind of on the top side, and I saw the highlight today, and I forgot that I had done this, where I start on the top side, I start working towards across the field, and there, you can see me at a certain point where I come into like this tiny window, and I raise my arms up real quick, like I'm just like wide open, like throw me the ball, and it's like I'm looking at that, and I'm like, I'm not open at all. What am I doing? And, so I kept going across, and you know. I guess I would say at that point it's like you have certain rules and patterns you're supposed to follow, right? According to like the scramble drill, you're supposed to follow the quarterback, kind of find a lane. But as John went over, like everybody did that, and I'm like, okay, well, this is like the instance where I know that, like, I guess they didn't see that I'm not following them, like, you know, like you're kind of supposed to do. So I stayed back behind, and no one saw me back there. And I'm like, well, if John sees me, then, you know, there's nobody within 20 yards of me. So, and I know he's got the arm to check it back, and that's how it went.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Were you worried that he had the thrown across his body like that, that he had the arm to get it there? But it sounds like he had no worries about that.
Not really. I mean, he can check it, so. Tough throw, but he got it. I mean, I did, at first, I misjudged it a little bit, and that's why, you know, the dramatic slide in at the very end, I guess. But I thought it was going to make it all the way to me, but it's like, you know, pop fly or something in the outfield. You kind of got to judge it, and that last second I had to kind of run up for it. So, yeah.
So, Johnny, how close do you pay attention to the rivalry game now? Is it something that you build your week, your days around? Is it something that's just in the periphery? And also, would you have believed that Utah would go on a 9-game winning streak between 2010 and now?
Yeah. I mean, I follow it, you know, like it's – every time the Utah week comes around, you know, I get some phone calls and stuff. So it's like, yeah, I follow it, and I kind of know when it is. It's a little bit anticlimactic playing it at the beginning of the season. I think it was always a great tradition to kind of have everything leading up to that game a little bit, you know, to have a nice finish to the regular season. But Utah's just, they've got themselves into a position where they just have this mental edge, you know, and really it's like, I mean, they've won, I guess, yeah, the last 9, right, which is crazy. I wouldn't have expected that. You think you would be able to pick up a couple in there, but really it's like 20 years that Utah's kind of had the edge in the series, going back to, like, you know, in 2000 and 2001, it's like BYU pulled it off in the last second. Then Utah won, and then it wasn't until, you know, my senior year that we ended up winning, and then the next year we got a last-second, like, miracle play, you know, with Austin Colley and all of this, you know. So every time BYU has won in the last 20 years, it's like at the very end of the game, they barely have won, and, you know, and Utah has been able to, you know, pick up a bunch of those close games as well as a few blowouts. And so to me it's like, the only thing that is constant with all that, you have different coaches, different players, different schemes, all of these different things going on. And so really the only thing that has changed, or that that hasn't changed is just kind of that the mentality or the culture, just the way that the game is viewed of, I don't know, like Utah just seems to enjoy beating BYU, and BYU, they stress out about losing to Utah is kind of the way that it seems to me. So, yeah.
Well, Johnny, we appreciate it, man. It's always fun catching up with you. Glad to hear that things are going well for you in your life, and look forward to doing this again here soon.
Proud of you, Johnny.
All right, thanks. Good to talk to you guys.
You too, man.
Johnny Harleen right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.